I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Fire Pat Fitzgerald, obviously a Northwestern guy on Twitter, answering the question of the last segment, give me the guy after Carson Wentz that pops to mind. In terms of a guy that has to have a top-end season, an excellent season for Washington to threaten double-digit wins. And I mentioned Antonio Gibson and Montez Sweat as my number two and number three. And he says, enough about Gibson. Rivera and team drafted Brian Robinson in the third round for a reason. Yes, they did. And I've acknowledged this since the draft. You don't take a running back in the third round or earlier, really in this day and age in the fourth round or earlier, without the belief that that guy is going to contribute sooner rather than later. And it was an indication, and I'll concede this point, Pat, that there must have been some concern about Gibson. But I think the concern was wear and tear and fumbling. And they wanted another option in the event that the wear and tear got to Gibson and the fumbling continued. But I had Scott Turner on the show last week, and Turner, I asked him, I said, what is his upside? He said it's unlimited. 6'2", 230, sub 4'4". Antonio Gibson is one of the few players on the team with superstar potential. That's my opinion. I think if he reaches that, yeah, they end up having a really good season. Scott Abraham is with us, my good friend from Channel 7. Of course, you can catch him on Channel 7 as the lead sports director and sports anchor on Channel 7. And he joins us right now. By the way, you've been busy here the last few days. I love the fact that you interviewed Katie Ledecky. I want to go back and watch that. And I may ask you about that here before we get done. But answer the question that I've been asking callers. I essentially said, look, we can all agree that Carson Wentz has to have a really good season if they're going to have a good season. If they're and a good season being defined double-digit wins. You know, not 8-8-1, not 9-8 or in a backdoor into the as a wild card 7 seed. A good season, 10 or more wins. If it's more than 10, it would be the first time since 1991. After Wentz, give me the first name that pops into your mind of a guy that's got to have a top-end season if they're going to achieve that.
Kevin, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. So I cheated a little bit because I was doing some grocery shopping early in the morning here, and I was listening to your show, and obviously I heard some of the calls and kind of your descriptions. But you may not like my answer, but I'm the guy that pops in my mind is Curtis Samuel. And I know you said, if you're relying on a Curtis Samuel, that's a mistake, but just hear me out. So you go back to his Carolina days. His last year in Carolina, I think he had 77 catches, multiple touchdowns. I think he had 5 or 6. He was a playmaker. He's a guy, in my opinion, that you can move all over the football field, Kevin. You can move him in the backfield. You can move him in the slot. Heck, you can put him on the outside. He has that game-breaking speed. He's the X factor, because if you add a Curtis Samuel into this offense, you mentioned Antonio Gibson, star power, he's going to get his. Terry McLaurin's going to get his. Carson Wentz, if he plays up to his ability, and then maybe you have a Jahan Dotson as a rookie, never easy transition. He gets his catches, makes some big plays in a few games. But then you add in a healthy Curtis Samuel, so he says, somebody that's going to be in week one, so he says, if he's healthy throughout the year and he can be that guy that we saw from Carolina in his last year, 77 catches, They use him a lot in the running back position. He's familiar with, obviously, Rivera, Scott Turner, this offense. I think he can just add a whole different complexity, a different challenge for defenses. So I'm going with Curtis Samuel, Kevin.
Look, everything you said is true. I guess the reason that I wouldn't choose Curtis Samuel is if he doesn't have a good year, they still have players, you know, offensively that can have big years that can compensate for a non-big year from Curtis Samuel. You know, if Curtis Samuel ends up having an injury-riddled, you know, year two in Washington, Jahan Dotson, you know, we're all hearing, you know, you're seeing it. We're all hearing and going back to the offseason stuff about how excited Scott Turner and a lot of players on that team are about Dotson's potential as a rookie. But, you know, without, you know, Gibson, without Wentz, it's going to be hard. You know, I guess without Gibson, maybe Brian Robinson turns into a rookie, you know, star. You know, that's possible. But without Samuel, we know that there are other options now. And there weren't necessarily last year. I'll concede that. But there are this year. That's the only reason that I would consider others before Samuel. But I agree with you. He could end up being the massive X factor. He could end up being a major influencer on a really good season if he's healthy and plays to the level that he's, you know, played at the last time we saw him full-time, which was in Carolina.
And to play devil's advocate to your point of Jahan Dotson, yes, there's a lot of hype surrounding this young man, but he hasn't done a darn thing in the NFL yet. He's unproven. So, yeah, he may look good in training camp. He's catching everything. Scott Turner's saying the right thing. But he's also a rookie, okay? So it's not too often you see a rookie come in and just light the world on fire. It's not an easy transition, okay? So I wouldn't put all the eggs in the Jahan Dotson basket right away. I'm in the court of I have to see it to believe it on Sundays in the fall. Curtis Samuel's proven that he can do it in the NFL and do it at a high level and being a playmaker. So that's why I think if Curtis Samuel can be the guy he was his final year in Carolina, when he got his big contract with Washington, it's going to add a completely different dimension to this offense. Then you throw in, hopefully, a healthy tight end of a Logan Thomas. I love this running back group. I think it's depth. I think it's a lot of versatility. A lot of people don't talk about J.D. McKissic staying here in Washington, a third down menace. Brian Robinson, a guy between the tackles, goal line, get those third and ones, get those third and twos. I like this offense. I like it even more with a healthy Curtis Samuel.
You know, I was going to say earlier, too, the running back room is becoming a potential unit that could be the strength of the football team,
yeah,
or certainly one of them.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody loves McKissic, too. And Doc was on with me the other day and basically said, Robinson, you know, Doc's got a nickname for everybody. He calls him Baby Big Country. And he said, I mean, he is a load. That's, of course, hard to get
big dude.
Yeah, hard to measure that in training camp when we're not really, you know, running plays and tackling runners. But, you know, maybe we'll see our first glimpse of him on Saturday. We're talking to Scott Abraham from Channel 7, at Scott7 News on Twitter, a Syracuse grad. By the way, real quickly, where's Syracuse going to land when all this conference reshuffling ends? They're just going to stay in the ACC, whatever the ACC remains?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned with this whole, you know, the Northeast narrative. It's tough, you know, being up there in the Snow Belt and, you know, try to get in those Southern schools. I don't see them being, especially because they're just so down in football, Kevin, and they've been down since, Dwight Freeney, Donovan McNabb era. I think that really hurts them, just how the football program's just gone downhill drastically. So, I don't see how valuable of a piece they could be in this whole college football shuffle. So I would say, you know, kind of stay put in the ACC and see how that goes. But it's so crazy how everything in college sports has just changed, Kevin, with the NIL and the reshuffling. I don't know if it's a good thing, but I'll just leave it as it's interesting. Leave it at that.
It is. All right, let's get back to the football team. So,
yeah.
How shocked were you, and do you have any insight or a gut feel as to why it happened when it came to the firing of Sam Mills the other day?
Yeah, I mean, it's curious because this, you know, second week in training camps in the NFL, as you know, historically, traditionally, you don't really fire coaches unless it's something, you know, maybe off the field related, you know, DUIs or whatever. And, you know, I don't think that was the situation there. So it's very curious to me because of obviously their past history, their relationships in Carolina, how close Ron was with, you know, those late great father, Sam Mills, who was just inducted in the Hall of Fame. You know, I don't want to speculate, but you almost feel like maybe could they have had a blow up or, you know, behind the scenes, you know, just a big locking of the horns of him and Del Rio or Rivera and Mills, or maybe the players, you know, certainly maybe the defensive linemen did not mesh with Mills, and Rivera saw that and he had to make a change. I love Scannina. You know, he's been the guy that's usually running the drills during training camp. It's hard to miss him because the guy is a monster. He's always the one wearing the pads and the defensive tackles hitting the pads against Scannina. So I think that's a natural transition. And again, just the timing is very curious. Jonathan Allen said the right things when we asked him about it at training camp. And I guess move on. Saturday, Carolina, first preseason game.
Yeah. So you've been out there a lot. And there's obviously, like, we get this time of year, you know, there's got to be a concern. And the concern, you know, more than any other, other than the injuries to Chase Young and Logan Thomas, et cetera, has been the narrative that Carson Wentz has been inconsistent, if not terribly inaccurate, during training camp. What have you seen?
Yeah, so my buddy Ben Standing of The Athletic DC, I know he's been on your show quite a bit. He had a great kind of terminology of consistently inconsistent. And look, I see it, okay? I've seen some wounded ducks on the deep ball. I've seen some head-scratching throws. But what I've been telling people, Kevin, is, listen, it's 2-3 weeks in a training camp. This is his third offense in 3 years. Philly, Indy, and Washington. Okay, I came in with the expectation Carson Wentz is a roller coaster ride. You're going to have ups and downs. He's proven that in the NFL. It's a roller coaster ride with Carson Wentz. I was not expecting him to come in and light the world on fire. All right, I've basically been saying pump the brakes a little bit. It's training camp. I love to see him on Saturday. A couple of series, a quarter against Carolina. A different defense, a different front, a different look, not going against his guys. I want to see how he does in that situation. I want to see what he does in week one, week two. Then if there's a problem, then if there's a concern, come talk to me in week three. But stealing a line from the 76ers, I guess I'm trusting the process, and I'm not hitting that panic button just yet in terms of inaccuracies. So I'm still willing to give it some time, Kevin.
I know Ron said the other day, and we're talking to Scott Abraham from Channel 7, I know that he said that Carson Wentz will play against Carolina Saturday. Do we have any sense as to how much we will see from him in the starters yet, or is that a question probably going to be asked today or tomorrow?
Yeah, and I was going to say that. I'm actually sitting down with Carson Wentz today at practice, and I'm going to straight up ask him what's the plan for Saturday. I doubt he'll say anything, but I think Ron's going to get asked that during the press conference. My gut tells me nothing more than a quarter, but it's all relative, right, Kevin? If they opening drive do a 8-9-10 play drive for a touchdown, maybe you've seen enough, right? I mean, I think it all is based on game flow. Because if you take that opening touchdown, pound it right down their throat and score the touchdown, why do you need to see more, okay? I mean, why risk injuries to anybody? So I think it's basically, I'd say, game flow, you know, a couple series a quarter. That's what my gut tells me.
You, in keeping with the quarterback conversation, you sat down with Taylor Heinicke the other day as well. Where is his mindset right now? I mean, the guy's such a competitor. He's such a gamer. Tell me what you got out of him.
I love Taylor Heinicke. I love his story. The big thing that I kind of wanted to get from his mindset going into the season was, listen, here's a guy that, you know, last year was not going to be the starting quarterback. Something happened to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Heinicke came in, filled in admirably, won 7 ball games. But I wanted to ask him because they got Wentz, and right away Rivera said Wentz is going to be our starting quarterback. And I asked Heinicke, were you disappointed that you weren't given the chance to compete for the starting job in training camp? And he gave a wonderful answer, saying he accepts his role. He understands the NFL. He understands how it works. And he said, I simply did not play good enough to warrant that opportunity. You know, I struggle in some games, and I understand it. And then I kind of pounced back on him saying, you know, where does that come from? And he's basically explaining, you know, 2-3 years ago, Kevin, he was on his sister's couch, out of the NFL, not playing quarterback, taking courses at Old Dominion University. He was getting ready for the next phase of his life. So he is just so grateful and appreciative to be where he is today, driving to work as an NFL quarterback. And he doesn't take that lightly. And he basically just appreciates every practice, every rep, every day he's in the NFL, because it was taken away and he was out of the game and it didn't look good. And he's using this as a second chance, and he's just very grateful. So it was awesome to hear.
You know, it's interesting, and just thinking about Taylor Heinicke, as you said, I mean, he was taking derivatives classes at Old Dominion, and he was planning his life, you know, without football in it. And here we fast forward, you know, basically 2 years later, not even 2 years later, and he's, you know, earning $1.5 to $2 million a year as a backup quarterback because he's so well liked and so well respected as a very intelligent guy. This could lead to not only, you know, a longish kind of Chase Daniel-ish kind of a career as a backup. I mean, look at the amount of money. If anybody ever wants to see one of the greatest deals in the history of the NFL, the amount of money that Chase Daniel has made for never playing over the course of his career. And Taylor Heinicke could do that because he's so well-liked, which is so important. He is respected. He's smart. And then he could parlay that into a coaching career when he's done. And there he was, you know, literally on the verge of moving on with his life. He had already moved on with his life, yep, for all intents and purposes. And if it hadn't been for Scott Turner, really, who remembered, hey, I really liked this kid, and he was the guy that gave him the chance initially, I mean, he might be, you know, working on Wall Street right now for all we know. I mean, Chase Daniel's one of the – I'm going to look this up, you know, before the end of the show. But the amount of money he's made for the number of snaps that he's taken has been unbelievable. So I did want to ask you – we're talking to Scott Abraham from Channel 7 – how has Sam Howell looked? I asked Scott that, but that was a week, you know, plus ago. Is Sam Howell raising any eyebrows? Is anybody saying, whoa, this guy actually has something and, you know, who knows, could compete for the backup job?
You know what? He passes the eye test, but I go back to the fact it's training camp practice, okay? All right, I want to see it to believe it. Show me something on Saturday, Sam Howell. Show me something in these preseason games. He's got an arm. He can fit the football in tight windows. He can drop the football in a bucket on a deep ball. Or, you know, he's been impressive. I'm not going to lie. But, okay, he's the rookie quarterback, and I want to see him in a game situation, various situations. He's going up. He's also going up against third teamers. Okay, he's not going up against, you know, the first teamers of that secondary or that defensive front. So, so far he looks good. But I go back to, you know, the Jahan Dotson theory of I want to see it to believe it. Game situations, NFL level talent with Sam Howell.
Yeah, he's of course got a chance because he'll get a lot of snaps in these preseason games.
Correct. Yep.
To get people buzzing about him. All right, two more and with Scott Abraham, and I'll let you run. By the way, I looked up Chase Daniel. After this year, where he's making $2 million this year as the backup in San Diego or in LA with the Chargers, he will have earned $41 million in 14 NFL seasons, and he has started 5 total games.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, wow.
Pretty good gig. So basically, he's averaged close to $3 million a year in compensation for basically not playing. Just, warming up guys and throwing some balls on the sideline occasionally when a quarterback looks like he may have gotten banged up.
So basically you're saying he started 5 games, $41 million. That's basically $8 million a start, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than that. Yep, it's incredible. Well, that's after this year, because that's factoring the $2 million. Who knows? Maybe Justin Herbert gets hurt. I don't even know. Is he the backup or is he the third stringer in LA?
No,
I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
But my point is that Taylor Heinicke on the couch, going to classes at ODU, getting ready to start a new life that had nothing to do with football, now may end up spending his entire professional life in football. That's kind of a cool story. I would agree with you. What more than anything else has stood out to you? What have you kind of taken from camp so far that you weren't sure about going into camp, but you are now?
1,000% without a doubt, the secondary. I have been pleasantly surprised at the way that back half has played and sometimes dominated these 11-on-11 drills, 9-on-9 drills. I love the way they are working together, and William Jackson looks so much more comfortable. Kendall Fuller, that calming presence there, kind of a quiet leader. And then obviously the Cam Curl and the Bobby McCain tandem. Benjamin St. Juice, working different various positions. I like it, Kevin. I like the way they're playing. You know, Jack Del Rio kind of called them out earlier in the offseason, said there was a lack of communication, which was kind of the problem. It seems like everybody's on the same page. You know, I sat down with Cam Curl last week, and he was explaining how the group has a fine system during training camp. So if somebody misses an interception or somebody gets burnt on a deep ball, it's a $20 fine, and they have this big pot in training camp. So they're holding each other accountable. They're a very close group, Cam said, going out to dinner, spending time together. So I think this has been a really pleasant surprise at the way this group has been playing together in training camp.
All right, last one, because I want this to lead into a call segment, but I want to ask you this question, and I'll answer it as well.
Yep.
So I saw Diana Russini, a good friend from ESPN, tweet this out last night or yesterday. The NFC East quarterback with the most to prove this season. You could make a strong argument for every single one. I think she's right, and I think that includes Dak Prescott. I mean, Dak Prescott is clearly the class of the quarterbacks in the division, but he hasn't had enough success in the postseason. So I'll ask you, the NFC East quarterback with the most to prove this season is who?
Easy. Dak Prescott, without a question. He has the big money. He has the contract. He's in Big D, all the expectations. He has the talent around him, and they can't get over the hump. They can't get over the hurdle, losing in the playoffs, coming up short. Dak Prescott has enormous amount of pressure to perform and lead the Cowboys. Get a playoff win. Move on in the playoffs. No question about it. I'm going with Dak.
Yeah, I think you can make the case for Dak. And by the way, your point of the contract is important too. The big difference between Dak and the other three is he's not going to lose his job if he doesn't, if he doesn't prove it this year in the postseason, if he doesn't win a game or two in the postseason. The other three could potentially be done for good as a legitimate bona fide NFL starter or getting opportunities to be a starter in the NFL after this year. But Dak's still got a lot to prove. I mean, they faced a relentless defense in that playoff game against the 49ers, and they had a chance to win it. They did have a chance to win it, but he did not play well, in that playoff game. Thanks for doing this, as always. You know how much I appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Scott Abraham from Channel 7, everybody. Thanks, Scott.
Kevin, thank you again.
Yep. Of course, follow Scott on Twitter. And by the way, I would urge you to just listen to some of the cuts that he put out there with his interview with Katie Ledecky at Scott7News on Twitter. All right, that's the question right now. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I saw Diana tweet this out, and I think it's a very interesting question. The NFC East quarterback with the most to prove this season is who? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Give me the quarterback that's got the most to prove and why. Phone lines are open. I'll give you my answer when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, we are free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.